Hello, it's the Ghost. Welcome to They Call Me the Ghost. If you're a fan of the strange but true happening in our world and the dark and mysterious goings-on, then you are in the right place. What do you guys think about professional thieves? Even not so professional. How do they do it and where do they find the nerve? In 2003, a heist team stole over $100 million of jewels from a vault, Antwerp. In 2003, a heist team stole over $100 million worth of jewels from a vault, Antwerp. This is one of the most lucrative nonviolent robberies of all time. One member of the team and the majority of the diamonds are still missing. We are going to look into this today. It's one of the largest robberies in history. The stolen diamonds, gold and silver, and other jewelry valued at over $100 million. This happened. Arrests were made, time has been served, but the majority of those stolen diamonds are still out there. How does this happen? Let's take a look. If any of you are into the ocean movies, let's get into it. Picture that while I describe this. The Antwerp World Diamond Center is located in the now infamous Antwerp Diamond District. The building has a private security force and it works around the clock. The vault that actually houses the diamonds is two floors beneath the main floor, so pretty far away, protected by multiple security mechanisms, including infrared heat sensors, a seismic sensor, Doppler radar, a magnetic field, and finally, a lock that has over 100 million possibilities. This is all actual data from the time of this robbery, 2003. Most likely, of course, the security measures have been updated. But this is how it happened back then. All right, first, the team. They were so popular, they actually earned a name, the School of Turin. This team of thieves was led by a Mr. Leonardo. The squad consisted of at least four other members, though there were rumors of a mysterious sixth man, the man behind the plan, but that can't be proven. Just like with any good heist team, all of them had their own special alias and skill set. So now let's move over to the movie Reservoir Dogs, right? Everyone had a name. This was the same. We had Speedy. He was anxious and paranoid, but a longtime friend of Leonardo. The Monster was a tall, muscular man. He was an expert lockpicker and mechanic. You had the Genius, the alarm system specialist. I don't need to say much more about that. Then you had the King of Keys. Besides having the best alias of all of them, he was an older gentleman described as one of the best key forgers in the world. All right, so we have our team. Let's get on to the heist. The plan to do this took 18 months of preparation. So I want you to think, do you have 18 months and would you spend the time planning anything like this? Well, Leonardo rented an office in the Diamond Center, which gave him access to a safe deposit box located in the vault that was their target. Along with his tenant ID card, he gained credibility by posing as an Italian diamond merchant. So really planting himself into the situation. And really, I mean, I was joking, but the rest of the plot really played out like Ocean's 11, including, you know, having the getaway car, building a full-scale replica of the vault that they could use to practice in, using a polyester body shield to hide them from the infrared cameras. No wonder this took 18 months, right? But here, let me summarize for you what the majority of this plan ended up to be. So the group conducts a detailed surveillance of the Diamond Center using camera pens to take pictures of the center and the vault covertly. You guys know about those. I've used those. Leonardo goes there often under the guise of being this diamond merchant. He caused security to become used to his presence and not looking at him so closely. This does take planning. A small camera, they hid a camera above the vault door by the group so as to observe the guards opening the door. They could record the combination. It would then broadcast this data to a sensor, which the group had hidden inside ordinary looking fire extinguishers in a nearby storage room in the center. The extinguisher was functional, but it had a camera hidden inside it. Very clever. And then, don't forget, they had the full-scale replica of this vault, so they practiced and they did this often until they knew it like the back of their hand. The day before the robbery, Leonardo visits the vault, posing in his routine visit. While inside, he quickly sprays women's hairspray on the thermal motion sensors. And so the oil is clear. Nobody will notice it. But what it is doing is providing temporary insulation in the sensor from thermal fluctuations in the room. Of course, this will keep it from going off. Now, it'll last for hours, but it's not gonna last really long. It's a temporary measure, meaning they're planning on going in soon. And when they did do that, they would, of course, disable the sensor system altogether. All right, well, Leonardo remains in a nearby getaway car during this robbery. He's listening to police scanners, and he's standing by, prepared to leave as soon as the group is done. The team wore plastic gloves, they didn't leave any fingerprints, and to avoid the large number of security cameras in the area around the bank, this king of keys picked the lock to an abandoned office building that was next to the Diamond Center, as it shared a private garden with the Diamond Center that wasn't under surveillance video. I don't know if any of you guys remember when we also had to survey from a building next door to a whole big thing going on. That was in Denver, Colorado, but maybe I'll remember it. Anyway, the garden is what would allow them access to a small balcony in the center, which the group accessed via a ladder. So the infrared sensor monitored the terrace, but the genius of the group used a large homemade polyester shield to hide this thermal signature as he approached the sensor, all right? So it didn't notice him, and then he placed the shield in front of it, preventing it from detecting anyone else in the group. He then disabled the alarm on the balcony's windows. So they're working their way in and clearing the way. Inside, they covered the security cameras with plastic bags, and this allowed the group to turn on the lights even. The vault door had a magnetic lock, and it consisted of two plates. When armed, they would trigger a magnetic field. When the door opened, the field would break, and that would trigger the alarm. Well, the genius overcame this by using a custom-made aluminum plate to which he attached heavy-duty double-sided tape to one side of it. And by doing this, he was able to get some bolts out of there and basically maintaining the magnetic field needed so that it wouldn't set anything off, but he put it out of the way so it wasn't sensing them. The King of Keys used video footage to make a duplicate of what was happening around the vault so that everything would look normal. He also knew that the guards would visit, and he made a duplicate key and replaced the original so that the guards would not have what they needed should they decide to come around and investigate during their robbery. And let's remember, it's not just getting into the vault and having a few minutes. There's a lot to do even when you get in there. The monster goes in, working in complete darkness, and he has to get into the ceiling and get to the security system there and mess with the in and outbound wires, reroute circuits, ensuring that the sensors would not be tripped. They also had heat sensors in there, and those were blinded with styrofoam boxes and tape. The men, remember, are working in darkness. Because they had their physical replica, they're working out of memory. Every once in a while, they would flick on lights for just a second to regain their composure of where they were. The King of Keys used a hand crank drill so as to not make noise to break the locks on each of the boxes. The contents of that were then emptied into their duffel bags. So now they're making progress. At about 5:30 in the morning, they finish their theft and they leave and return to their safety office building. But it's not like they just ran over there. I mean, all of this takes time. It took them another hour just to get there. Then they put their bags into Leonardo's car, and he and his driver drive off, and for safety reasons, the men follow behind on foot. Sounds like they got away, and it sounds pretty smooth, right? Probably a big haul for just working through the night. But I remember telling you yesterday that criminals by default make about 25 mistakes every time they commit a crime, even though they're thinking it out very carefully. And here, everything should have gone very smoothly, except there was one thing. Speedy. Remember that team member? Well, as the team split, Leonardo and Speedy head off to France. Okay, this is after everything's settled. The plan there was to get to France and dispose of any evidence leading to them there, away from the location, away from the crime scene. However, Speedy becomes overcome with panic. This is a hyper guy. So he doesn't want to travel with all this incriminating evidence, and he's insisting that they get rid of it sooner. So the two men head out to a nearby forest, thinking, well, who's going to go there? But Speedy is working fast. He's still in his panic attack, and he's unable to dispose of all of his items properly. So now a local hunter comes around, finds what he thinks is trash, thinking it's probably teenagers that were hanging around, and he calls the police. There's a mess over here. Well, the police find through evidence that there was a heist, and it leads them right to Leonardo. He ends up sentenced to 10 years in prison. In an interview after the crime, Leonardo claims that an unidentified diamond merchant had hired them, claiming the robbery was part of an elaborate insurance fraud. There was some doubt cast on this story, as most of the vault was uninsured at the time, so it did have questions in the end. However, the majority of the diamonds have yet to be recovered. Where did they go? Of the entire team, only the King of Keys was never apprehended by the police, and his true identity has never been known. No one has ever figured it out. That's how it went down, and from me to you, I want to know, do you guys like stories of heists and thieves? Let me know in the comments. I know that in a lot of the jobs I've had, I've definitely had to go in and get some items, if you will. So it's something that does interest me, but let me know your thoughts. And thank you for listening today, and I will talk to you all soon.